In the heart of Manila, under Marcos' rule, reality shifts like quicksilver. The city transforms instantly from crowded slums to palatial drawing rooms, creating a world where time flows like a river of dreams. Radio broadcasts create a carefully orchestrated cacophony. News bulletins about the Marcos' White House invitation clash with urgent reports of jeepney strikes and economic troubles plaguing ordinary citizens. This contradictory nature extends into every aspect of Filipino society. Consider the Manila International Film Festival's opening night, a perfect metaphor for the city's duality. While Hollywood celebrities grace the red carpet in designer wear, the building itself harbors a dark secret. Dozens of construction workers buried alive in its foundation after floors collapsed during rushed construction to meet Imelda's deadline. The First Lady, dressed in an elaborate terno, tearfully insists to international media that only 8 men died, not 100, while defending the film center as a celebration of Filipino beauty. Her carefully maintained facade mirrors the city's surface glamour, masking deeper tragedies. Even entertainment venues serve dual purposes. Studio 54, a pulsing disco in Manila's vibrant Malat district, functions as both nightclub and clandestine resistance hub, where the magnetic drag performer Perlita arranges escape routes for political targets through an underground network. The glittering surface provides perfect cover for resistance activities, music and survival intertwined in the shadows of neon lights. The Marcos dictatorship permeates Manila, with Imelda deflecting questions about Senator Avila's assassination by showcasing her local-made shoes and describing herself as the people's slave and star, revealing the regime's masterful image manipulation. General Ledesma embodies the regime's brutality. His psychological torture of Daisy Avila, showing her photos of her lover's mutilated body before sexual violence, demonstrates how the military weaponizes intimacy. When Daisy laments trying to be noble and good like her father, but facing such horror, we witness idealism crumbling against systematic cruelty. Survival emerges through faith, humor, and adaptability. The general's wife, Leonor, transforms Catholic prayers into sacrilegious incantations. "Our Mother, who art in heaven, thy will not be done," invoking Our Lady of Wild Dogs and Madonna of Volcanoes, blending colonial Catholicism with indigenous spirituality. Humor provides another survival mechanism through gossip, chismes. Perlita and hairdresser Chico Ting exchange scandalous stories about Manila celebrities, building community while disguising political commentary as casual chatter. Where would civilization be if we all just stayed home? This question from 19th century French Jesuit Jean Malat reveals how colonial narratives continue shaping Filipino identity long after formal colonization ended. Language serves as a crucial battleground for cultural identity. The dialogue shifts between English, Tagalog, and Spanish, embodying Manila's hybrid patois. This linguistic complexity emerges when Rio returns after 14 years abroad, with her cousin Pucha's impromptu Tagalog test questioning Rio's cultural belonging. American influence saturates Filipino life. General Ledesma shouting MacArthur's phrases during intimate moments demonstrates how deeply American military presence has embedded in the Filipino psyche. Characters embrace Hollywood and Western music while maintaining local cultural connections. The historical timeline from Magellan's 1521 arrival through Spanish colonization, American occupation, Japanese invasion, and independence in 1946 contextualizes the Marcos era as part of an ongoing narrative of foreign influence continuously reshaping Filipino identity. The vast gulf between Manila's elite and underclass appears through characters like Rio Gonzaga, a privileged mestiza schoolgirl, and Joey Sands, a hustler abandoned by an American GI father. The Monte Vista Golf and Country Club embodies class privilege, where Romeo Rosales works while dreaming of acting fame. his girlfriend Trini Gamboa reveals working-class aspirations, proudly mentioning her promotion at Severo Alacran's Tuukola plant with better pay and monthly free soft drinks, while concealing Romeo's death. Beauty pageants serve as vehicles for social mobility for women. Daisy Avila's performance at the Miss Philippines beauty pageant represents one path to visibility, while Lolita Luna's career as a bomba queen provides access to powerful men, though with exploitation. Years later, at the 1982 pageant, Rio observes that everything has changed and nothing is different. The VIP section still contains the same faces, General Ledesma, Severo Alacran, and the American ambassador, with former actor Tito Alvarez now in the presidential seat once occupied by Imelda. Women's bodies function as contested territories where power dynamics unfold. Daisy's beauty pageants showcase controlled Filipino femininity aligned with conservative expectations, while Lolita Luna's status as bomba queen marks her as sexually available to powerful men, highlighting the commodification of female sexuality. Perlita's transformation into the Pearl of the Orient demonstrates how performance creates empowered alternate identities within heteronormative culture. Studio 54 serves as a sanctuary where queer identities flourish despite Manila's social restrictions. The sex show montage reveals how sexuality intertwines with exploitation. General Ledesma's demands for sexual favors from Lolita exemplify powerful men treating women's bodies as property. Conversely, Romeo and Trini's intimate encounter offers a counterpoint of genuine connection, though still constrained by social norms. Joey's relationships with foreign clients, particularly filmmaker Fassbinder, expose colonial dynamics. When Fassbinder declares himself the most corrupt human being, Joey's sardonic response challenges the European's assumption that corruption flows from outside into the Philippines, inverting the colonial gaze. Senator Domingo Avila symbolizes principled opposition. His speech after the Manila Film Center collapse, urging Filipinos to wake from centuries of sleep. His assassination catalyzes his daughter Daisy's commitment to armed resistance. The New People's Army guerrillas represent organized opposition from their remote safe house, blending weapons training with political education while relying on local community support. When they shelter Joey after witnessing Senator Avila's murder, protection comes with implicit demands for political awakening. The narrative complicates idealistic views of revolution. Joey's eventual rejection of Daisy's cause stems from experiencing violence firsthand, raising difficult questions. Who bears revolution's burden? What cost is too high for political change? Complicity appears in many forms, from Severo Alacran's business dealings with the government to Trini's silence about violence in her letters home. In a corrupt system, pure resistance may be impossible, with survival requiring moral compromises that blur the lines between resistance and compliance. My soap opera continues. The soap opera of the Philippines continues. This observation captures how narratives shape both individual lives and national consciousness. Throughout Manila, media forms, radio melodramas, jingles, traditional songs, Hollywood movies, don't merely provide background, but construct the lens through which people interpret reality. The play's final tableau shows former action star Tito Alvarez in the presidential seat once claimed by Imelda, crystallizing how political reality mirrors fictional structures. In the Philippines, celebrities become political leaders, and power maintains its grip through orchestrated spectacle. As Donna Summer's Last Dance plays, the continuing soap opera reveals itself as a web where beauty pageants and political assassinations occupy the same cultural space. This is Manila under Marcos. The line between performance and reality blurs until indistinguishable. Survival demands knowing which role to play when. The soap opera continues, sustained by the very violence it sometimes obscures and sometimes reveals, a nation in perpetual transition where everything changes while nothing fundamentally differs.